In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Double-Edged Sword, a Christian podcast ministry presented by Father Gennard Lazar. Father Gennard is a parish priest of the Mud at the Parish of the Assyrian Church of the East in Turlock, California. Here's Father Gennard.
Before I begin with this episode, I'd like to give a shout out to all the youth in Canada. That's Toronto or Toronto, Windsor, London, Hamilton. I had the pleasure of meeting them this last weekend. It was the weekend before the last weekend. Lovely people. I already do miss you. And it was so lovely to meet you and listen to you and share some ideas with you. And thank you so much for the feedback in regards to the podcast. Kudos to the producers, Stephen Lilham, Adrina Oshana, and Kristen Marilia. Looking forward to our next visit or maybe seeing you here in the Central Valley for the Youth Conference. Allah Baruch Loch and God bless you all. And keep up the great work for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. One question that has been posed and suggested to discuss and to go over is, how do we know what is or what isn't a sign from God, and it's not us doing our minds in or telling or comforting or fooling ourselves with what we want to hear? That's a very good question, and that falls under the topic of discernment. We require discernment in our lives. Discern between good and evil, discern between right and wrong, discern between something that will be successful or something that will not be successful. So discernment is an integral part of the life of a human being in every aspect of life. In the secular term, discernment is defined as the ability to judge well, which puts us all down off the bat because we get it so wrong most of the time. Jesus gives us the permission to judge in John chapter 4, verse 24, but he commands that if we judge, we must judge with righteous judgment and not the outside appearance. So being so weak and miserable, we fail there, and that's why Jesus and the scriptures instruct that we should not judge, not make a judgment. So really, the ability to judge well in the Christian term and the definition of discernment in a secular term do not go hand in hand. In a Christian framework, discernment is gained, is perfected from the Holy Scriptures. Discernment is gained and perfected from the church doctrines, the church liturgy, the church faith. In his epistle to the Philippians, St. Paul writes in chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. I'm not going to read all of the verses, but just a part of that. He begins with this, "And I pray this." So St. Paul is praying for that church. "And I pray this, that your love may gain increase and abound in knowledge and in all spiritual understanding." And then he goes on, "That you would distinguish or discern those things that are suitable." So St. Paul is praying for the church in Philippi, for the faithful in Philippi, for the converted Christians in Philippi. He's praying that they grow, increase in love, that their love will increase in knowledge, but that they would have the gift or the power to distinguish, to discern those things that are suitable. If Saint Paul is praying, how much or how significant is the gift of discernment? How important is it in our Christian life to have discernment and to be able to discern? So he writes, to distinguish or discern those things that are suitable. What he's trying to do is, Saint Paul is wishing or praying with God's assistance to pour into us pure Christian doctrine so that we become more pure, we become moral, we become genuine Christians and live a genuine Christian lifestyle, so that our faith and the practice of our faith will be firm, that we will see clearly all the huge outcome of our faith through discernment. See, I've already mentioned faith. So off the bat again, the most important thing is first and foremost in a Christian life, in any religion, is faith, to believe in what you want to follow and what you want to obey and worship. So after faith comes trust and perseverance. But you know, through all these characteristics of a Christian that needs to oppose possess is discernment, to be able to discern. He wants us to be able to distinguish what is useful from what is useless. See, that's the problem with many Christians. That's a problem with the world today. The world is knowing what is good is calling it bad, and knowing what is bad is calling it good. So the world is losing the capability, the ability to distinguish, to discern rightly. Do you know why, beloved? Because the world does not conform to the patterns of God. The world does not follow the principles of God, the Creator, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Lord, the world cannot distinguish what is pleasing before our Lord. In Ephesians 5, chapter 10, Paul writes, Saint Paul prays that we may adorn the teachings, the commandments, and instructions of the Lord with works of righteousness, so that it will bring about an abundance of good things through discernment, knowing what is right and wrong, and fulfilling God's commandments, knowing what appeases God, what pleases God, and fulfilling that, which will bring abundant of good things and goodness, being fruitful. What is suitable? What is useful? What is meaningful? What is pleasing? What is sensible? What pleases God? This is the discernment that Paul, Saint Paul, is praying for us. So how do we become discerned? How do we receive discernment? How do we gain discernment? And how do we grow in discernment? The first thing Paul prays for is that, he writes, I pray that your love. It all begins with love, doesn't it? St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, above everything is love. Through love, we can conquer our hatred. Through love, we can avoid harming others and ourselves. Through love for God, we can avoid grieving the Holy Spirit of God. So number one, examine ourselves. Let's examine ourselves. Let's examine our current stance and situation in our Christian walk. Do we love, do we respect God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit? Why do I say that? Why does St. Paul begin by praying that in love or for their love? Well, Jesus commands in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you believe me and you can preach and you witness and you testify and you cry out Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. And what is the commandment that Jesus gave us? The new commandment, along with all the other commandments that God has given us and all the commandments that are in the Holy Scriptures. John 13:34, if I give you a new commandment to you, love one another just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. That's why St. Paul is praying to the church in Philippi that their love may gain increase, that they may grow in love, because when they grow in love for the Lord, this is what we're talking about first, for the Lord, then they will search for discernment. They will live a discerning life, knowing what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to God. So when we increase in love for the Lord God, praise and glory be to his name, that is then when we begin to find out what our obligations are, to search what my obligations, what is our responsibility to God and his Son and the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 21, after Simon had denied Christ three times, and when we read the scriptures, we know that Simon was standing by the fire, hitting himself, and that's where he denied Jesus Christ three times. He denied his Lord. And then we read after the resurrection that Christ, when he appeared to his disciples and they were fishing, he was by the seashore. There was fire, there was coal, and there was fish. And again, it was around that fire that Jesus reinstated Simon three times. Simon, do you love me? Yes, yes, I do, Lord. Tend to my lamb that are the children of the church. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Tend to my ewes, or you, which is the female members of the church. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know, you understand, you comprehend that I love you. Tend to my sheep, which are the male members of the church. So in order to be discerning, first and foremost, we need to love our Heavenly Father. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And then find out and seek, what must I do? How can I build this relationship of love? What is there for me to do? Because remember, Jesus commands in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I command you? So search the commandments of God. Search your obligation and responsibilities as a Christian, as a child of God, to God your Father and to your brothers and sisters, the Christians. If we are doing this, if you are going to begin doing this, if you're already in the process of doing this, continue. Don't give up. But if not, well, we need to seek help. We need to maybe consult our Christian brothers and sisters. You know, how is it that do you discern? How do you choose what is right and wrong? And we can give examples and advice through life's experiences. You know what? Well, I went through a period of not really knowing what was the will of God. I was actually more concentrating on the will of man and my own understanding, my old self-righteousness, until I began to 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, iron sharpens iron and a man sharpens the person of his neighbor. If we fail, if we are failing to do this, is it because of ignorance, arrogance, carelessness, faithlessness? Is it a certain circumstance in life that is deterring us from gaining that discernment through our love for God and our relationship with him, which is drawing us away from the discernment spirit that we need to live that God-pleasing life? I mentioned Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I command you? So one of the very important armors of Christianity, or characteristics of a Christian, is discerning. discernment, knowing what is good. But doing it, just knowing it, does not make it right. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do? And I'm emphasizing the do, so there are deeds. We need to act upon the acceptance of belief and proclaiming that Jesus is our Lord. James chapter 4, verse 17, whoever knows the good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So let me tell you, you know, this frightens me. If you want a spirit of discernment, do know what is appeasing to God, and you don't do it, then to us, or to you, or to those who are in this predicament, it is sin, the scriptures say. If we didn't know, it would not hurt us. If we lack discernment, and we do call good evil and evil good, and do recognize good, but we don't follow and complete it, well, you know, we don't know. You plead ignorance, right? That's what Jesus says in John chapter 9, verse 41. If you were blind to the Pharisees, because when he gave the parable of the blind leading the blind, and they said, are you calling us blind? Meaning, don't you dare. We know what we're doing. We know the law. We are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Jesus replies, says, okay, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say we're not blind, we see, we understand, we know, we have a spirit of discernment, because of this, your sin stands. So the spirit of discernment is extremely significant in our role, in our life, in our Christian life, in our relationship with God. So to wrap up, if we claim we have a spirit of discernment, we can choose between wrong and right. That's calling the Lord, Lord. But do you actually choose? You know that immorality is despised, is evil. You know that murder in any shape or form is evil. But if we continue to do that, knowing it, claiming that I have a spirit of discernment, I can discern, well, then the sins stand, and they will stand before us at the great and awesome, awful tribunal of our Lord Jesus Christ. If not, then I'll go back to the three words that St. Paul opens Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And I pray this, pray for a spirit of discernment. Ask for the Lord for a spirit of discernment. So when you ask, how do I know what is right and what is wrong, what is pleasing to God, what is not, what is God's calling, what is, you know, when Satan's tempting, when it's God calling me, pray for that discernment. But be very careful. You know, every gift that we receive from the Lord, every precious, gracious provision that we receive from the Lord, we will be held accountable as to how we use that gift. So if you're ready for a spirit of discernment in order to know what is right and wrong, but you must be ready to pursue the right and let go of the wrong. And you can't say, this is not justification, well, then I'm not going to pray for it because then I will plead ignorance. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be fooled, beloved. Your conscience, your thoughts, your understanding, your purpose, your motive is all known by God. So if we think we can fool God and not have a spirit of discernment and then continue to do the wrong and avoid the good, the Lord knows. Again, the Lord cannot be mocked. The Lord cannot be fooled. So praying for a spirit of this. See, St. Paul was praying for their love, praying for discernment. We must too pray, Lord, grant me a spirit of discernment. However, Lord, help me that when I do receive this, when you do grant me this gift, when you do reply to this prayer request, that you also grant me the will, the desire to repent from all the evil that I am now ignorantly in, so that I may please and appease you. Pray for a spirit of discernment. Before you make a decision, before you open your mouth to speak, before you take action, before you press that post button, before you press that like or love or the ha 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 button, stop and think. Be discerned. Is this appeasing to the Lord? St. James writes, chapter 1. You know, when I said stop and think, is this, that's a small prayer. A quick thought in your mind. Lord, am I doing the right thing? Lord, deliver me from evil. Help me to do this for your glory. Your conscience will tell you. The scriptures will tell you. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. But if anyone of you who lacks wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment, let him ask from God, who gives to everyone simply and does not reproach, and it will be given to him. However, St. James continues, but let him ask in faith, without wavering, for he who wavers is like the waves of the sea, which the wind troubles. For without faith, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord God. Whoever wavers in his mind is troubled in all his ways. So pray, seek the advice, the experience of other Christian brothers and sisters, and seek your spiritual counselor, your parish priest. Why is it that we are deterred to approach the parish priest? You know this, I'm not comfortable, I'm sorry to say, and I will use this word, garbage. I'm not comfortable. No, the priests are there to listen. They are your spiritual fathers. They are an icon of Jesus Christ on earth. They serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They have experience. They've gone through all of this. They can share their life experiences with you. I thank all those who have reached out and given us feedback in regards to the testimonial interview that my sister Kristen recorded with me. You know, and God bless you. It was all for the glory of God, and thank you for your feedback. Yeah, I spoke through experience. I speak through experience when I tell you that sometimes we need to be truly asking God for a spirit of discernment, because this world is so confusing. And again, I'll close off with this. Why is this world so confusing? Why is this world so distant from God? Why does this world not possess the discernment that God has granted? Is because the world is not conforming to the patterns of God. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.